The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parents Show. The friendly team at Neave includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. It's Thursday the 15th of March.
And many of our regular listeners have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this date. Tonight is the night that the internationally acclaimed parenting guru Gina Ford is on the show, not just talking to us about sleep problems in babies and toddlers, but answering your own questions. And as you can imagine, we've been inundated with questions from listeners, so stay tuned to see if Gina pulls your question out of the hat. That's Gina coming up within the next 5 minutes, only on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM, Community Radio in West Hearts.
Welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcorey.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Now, tonight's show is all about sleep problems in babies and toddlers, and we'll be joined by none other than Gina Ford very shortly. He'll be answering your questions and your queries. Now, Gina Ford doesn't need an introduction, but we're going to do a little bit anyway. She's currently Britain's best-selling childcare author. Her first publication sold over a million copies, and with over 30 years of hands-on experience as a maternity nurse, her advice and methods have been a godsend to tired, stressed parents throughout the world and have helped generations of children to go to bed on time, sleep calmly and be good.
That's right. However, Lydia, her work is not done because parents all over Hertfordshire are struggling to get their little ones to sleep through the night. So in a few minutes, Gina will be tackling their sleep problems and issues directly. Now, I have to say, obviously, sleep is only one topic that Gina can talk expertly about. You know, doing the research for this show, we came across her entire publication list, Lydia, is enormous. I mean, she's got top tips for weaning, top tips for toddler tantrums, fussy eaters, the new Contented Little Baby book, the complete sleep guide, Feeding Made Easy, potty training in 1 week, and A Contented House with Twins. Goodness me. So the full repertoire, but tonight we're really focusing on sleep. So stay tuned. It's Gina after this next track.
There we go. And that was Joss Stone with Sleep Like a Child. Now the time has come, Art. We are so excited on The Parents Show this evening. We have none other than Gina Ford joining us, and we are delighted to have her on the line joining us from Scotland. Gina, how are you doing?
Can you hear us, Gina?
Oh, we have a bit of silence. We might just call back.
We might just call back.
That's it. We'll try it again. But we might just play a tune in the meantime.
Yeah, let's do that.
And this is Emma Bunton, and we're being tongue-in-cheek again with We're Not Gonna Sleep Tonight. Now, we're going to wind out of that song because, as promised tonight, we are talking to none other than Gina Ford about sleep problems. So we're delighted and excited on The Parents Show to be welcoming her on the phone now. Gina, how are you doing?
Hi. Is that Cathy or Lydia?
It's Lydia this time.
We sound a wee bit similar, Gina.
You do. Lovely Irish accent.
Thanks a million. We are so delighted to have you on the show this evening. And I know you're extremely busy, and I know there's a huge demand on your time. And I know also that you're not feeling great. So we really appreciate it.
Well, that's very kind. I'm delighted to be on the show. Just to say, not feeling great, I'm just waiting to have a wee op. So there's nothing serious, but I'm just in a bit of pain. So I hope the listeners take that into account.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we really appreciate you speaking to us when you're not feeling the best. Now, I just wanted, we have had such a positive reaction when we said you were going to be on the show. And we've had a few comments from listeners. So if you don't mind, we're just going to run through a few just to give you a taste of the reaction.
Okay.
Right, Rowena in St. Albans said, the routine worked a dream for our son. They seemed to predict his natural rhythm, so he was really contented. Now we have twins, I'm finding the same applies. They've fallen into the routine very easily and are thriving. The advice gave us confidence as new parents, and we feel we've reaped the benefits ever since.
And Gemma from Belfast, Gina, she says, when you're a new mum, guidance is essential. Gina made me aware of my baby's rhythms and gave me the confidence to trust my own abilities. Medical research has proven that routines are best for young children. When I read something factual about my child's development that's potentially beneficial, I just can't ignore it. You can only do your best. Thank you, Gina.
Now, I followed her routine since my eldest son was 6 months old, and I didn't have a clue about when to give him milk, solids and naps, and I used it ever since. It's invaluable to have as a guide on how much sleep a child needs at different ages, and I find the routine really fits in well with my social life. I can arrange to meet people in the morning and the afternoon, knowing that the boys will be awake and happy most of the time. And both boys have always been very contented, and I think Gina's routine has helped to ensure that they are well fed and rested. Thanks, Gina. I don't know what we would have done without you. That's Helen in St. Albans.
And we've got another one from Ireland, from Dunboyne, Gráinne Griffin. Leaving hospital with your new baby is something you get the least training for in life. God knows that's true. Having Gina's expertise and routine has given me a real sense that I'm always doing the right thing while learning on the job. I have learnt with my three children that babies truly thrive on Gina's routine. That's Gráinne Griffin.
Right, and we've got one more. Gina Ford rocks. Her routines kept me sane, empowered me as a mother, and resulted in two very contented children. Thank you, Gina. And that's from Louise in St. Albans. So you're a phenomenal success, and you've been such a help to women. And with Mother's Day this coming up this weekend, we thought you're absolutely the perfect guest to be speaking to.
Thank you.
And as you know, Gina, many listeners have submitted questions to you via the show on sleep problems they're having with their little ones. Gina, just to sort of sum up, before we get into individual issues and problems, what would you say are the main, you know, what is your overall philosophy with regard to sleep? What would you say are the basics that need to be set in place before you tackle any problems?
Well, obviously, for a baby to sleep well, they've got to be well fed. And I think getting the balance right between sleeping and feeding is just so important.
Yeah.
When I first started working with babies, I have to say that the routine in those days was the old-fashioned four-hourly routine. And I found that for some babies it worked, but for an awful lot it didn't, particularly breastfed babies. And that's why I developed the contented little baby routines. There's actually 9 to 10 routines in the books, as most of the mums who follow the books know. And that means that parents can take these set of routines and adapt the routine that is closest to their baby's natural rhythms. And I think that's the essence of the routines, really, is to, you know, look at the book, look at your baby's age, and use a routine that's nearest to your baby's individual needs.
Yeah, and make that kind of judgment call, knowing your own baby. You'll say, yeah, oh, that's a little bit, he's closer to that one or that one, and
yes,
just adjusting.
Sometimes you may work between two routines. You may, you know, adapt the sleeping times for, you know, the baby, but have to adapt the eating routines from another routine. You know, you can sometimes,
that's right, you can pick and mix a bit. Now, Gina, we've got the first question we're going to put to you tonight is from Irina in St. Albans.
Mm.
You ready? You sitting comfortably?
I am.
My little girl is 21 months old. She seems to only need 9 hours of sleep a night. She goes to sleep at 8. She wakes up at 5. Then she naps for 3 hours in the afternoon between 12 and 3. Irina, the mummy, doesn't like the schedule. I've tried to cut down her nap to 1.5 hours to get her to sleep longer in the mornings. That didn't work. She still gets up at 5 a.m. and is then very tired in the mornings. I've also tried to cut down the nap and put her to bed earlier, around 7 a.m, thinking she might be overtired. She then got up at 4 a.m. Is 9 hours of sleep and a 3-hour nap an appropriate schedule, Gina? Or should I just be giving up on it?
In my opinion, it isn't. At 21 months, actually, a lot of toddlers are down to 1 hour sleep a day for their nap. When you get early morning waking, and it's one of the most difficult problems to solve, a vicious circle begins because, you know, the little baby or toddler wakes up early, often doesn't go back to sleep, then needs more sleep during the day to get
to compensate
the day, and then wakes up in the night because it's had too much sleep. What I would say with a little girl of this age, 21 months, I would actually, contrary to the advice I normally give, for several days I would give 45 minutes sleep in the morning and 45 minutes sleep in the afternoon.
Just to get them used to
it. So that would be 1.5 hours. It would be by splitting the naps that way, it would get the toddler through the day and reduce the amount of sleep that she's having considerably. Now, of course, it may not work the first few nights. I find when I do sleep problems like this through my consultancy, it can take 3 to 6 weeks. So it is a case of being persistent. The other thing that I would probably do as well is when she does wake at 5 o'clock in the morning, to help aid her back to sleep, although she probably isn't hungry, I would actually give her a drink of milk and try and get her back to sleep. You know, again, these measures are temporary. And once the sleep gets better and the little girl starts to sleep later in the morning, to say around 6 o'clock, you would then shorten the morning nap and then lengthen the lunchtime nap, so that she ended up with somewhere between 1 to 1.5 hours in the middle of the day. But it is crucial to cut down on this daytime sleep. Yeah. You know, the problem will not be resolved unless, you know, the mum really works hard at doing that. And it will take time, and I know that it's, when things don't fall into place straight away, it's very tempting to try something else, keep changing tactics.
Yeah.
But that's the tactic that I use, and I actually probably deal with more toddler sleep problems than I do with baby sleep problems.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm. That's interesting. But I suppose the most important thing is not to kind of give up and get the baby up at 5 o'clock and think, okay, this is my destiny, I have to start my day.
That's right. Try and keep it. You know, it is hard, particularly with a little one, 21 months old, they're raring to start the day. And I have dealt with them at that age. And, you know, try and keep them in the bedroom. Okay, if they're not going to go back to sleep, you just have to keep saying, shh, it's quiet time now, it's quiet time.
Yeah, because, Gina, would you, like I'd say, it's the same with my two-year-old. When you say to him, it's time, go back to sleep, they just get irate, don't
Absolutely.
They? They hate it.
That's the worst thing you can say to a toddler, is to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can't, if they don't want to go back to sleep, they can't get back to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite frustrating for their little mind. So, you know, quiet time, just keep, shh, it's quiet time. And, you know, I've worked with one little boy, I recall, and it took me, I would say, a good 4 weeks of going into that bedroom every morning at 5 o'clock staying with him till 7 and cutting back on the daytime sleep. And this was a wee chap that had started his day at 5 o'clock, you know, from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And we did crack it. We got there. I mean, you know, if you're persistent enough, you will get there.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's great. That is great advice, because the most moms
common
that I
problem,
hear, yeah, it's actually everybody who talks about the 5 o'clock start.
It's an absolute killer. You know, I really feel it for mums, and I've got several mums that I'm working with at the moment where the babies, you know, have been waking up at five for months and months.
Yeah.
And we are getting somewhere, but it's hard because I have to keep saying to them every day, look, it's not going to happen overnight, but we will get there.
You just have to massage them out of it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's great to know that there is hope. And the other thing is that, you know, the problem with it being woken at 5 o'clock every morning is that you start to lose a bit of perspective. You know, you start to get rid of your problem-solving skills, and you just kind of get into a rut, don't you?
So, well, absolutely, and that's when, in desperation, I think lots of mums keep trying different tactics.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll take them into bed, other times they won't. I mean, with one mum, I advised, I said, look, if it's easy to take the little one into bed with you, that gets him back to sleep, then it's fine to do that for a few weeks until we get the daytime sleep cut down, and then he would naturally just start to sleep later anyway. But I think often mums are worried about creating bad associations by doing something like that. But if it's for, you know, if it's a temporary measure, then I think it's absolutely fine.
You've got to prioritise.
It's a priority, isn't it? How do you get them to move from 5 to 7 a.m.? And then you're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, yes, it's sometimes you do have to assist them to sleep at that 5 o'clock waking.
Yeah.
But as long as their other sleep times, say, if the nap time and the bedtime, they go down unassisted, then I don't think you have to concern yourself about creating too much of a problem by using, I call it assisted to sleep method, you know, and I use it with babies, I use it with toddlers. It's a short-term fix when we need to cut back daytime sleep.
And also, Gina, you know, the thing about the 5 a.m., you know, coming into the light mornings, you know, if it's 5 a.m. and it's bright in their bedroom, they often think, oh, it's time to wake up. What would you say about that?
Well, obviously, everyone knows I'm obsessed with blackout blinds. I mean, I just really believe in blackout blinds.
They were.
So, Gina, I've run out of Sellotape. We've used Velcro. We've had conversations out in the pub with friends about how to get the blackout blinds to stick to the window.
You can actually buy, I think it's from Easy Blinds, you can buy where you cut the blackout to size and stick it to the window, and that seems to be really effective. The other thing is, I think it's fine for them to have a night light. If they get past the year, 18 months to a night helps, fine, that's different. But I think where, you know, if you have a curtain pole in particular, the light streaming out the top I think that's bad. I think it's that all blacked off.
Yeah. I only go on holiday, Gina, to places where they have blacked out shutters. I want total darkness.
Well, you know, I'm a great believer in darkness, and I think at night for these babies. I think it's because I travelled overseas when I worked as a maternity nurse. So many different countries where they had shutters, and we don't have them in this country.
Yeah.
You know, I can't for the life of me understand what's so strange about wanting to sleep in the dark, because it's a natural thing to sleep in the dark.
That's it. I mean, sure, it's the same for adults. We wear those kind of eye baths, you know, whenever when you're flying.
You notice that, Gina, when you're on holiday and my kids sleep in till 8 a.m. because they have those continental shutters, you know. Anyway, we're digressing. Let's move on to the next question.
Next question comes from Chloe in Luton. Dear Gina, can we please have advice on the best way to prepare a 3.5-year-old for their 15-month-old sister coming to share their room? Would be greatly appreciated. The 15-month-old pretty much sleeps through unless he's teething or feeling unwell, in which case she lets everybody know about it. I don't want to disrupt the 3-year-old's sleep as she sleeps so well and really needs 12 hours a night. This could be written by me, and I want the advice as well. I'm in exactly the same situation right now.
Well, I think I always advise parents when they're wanting to get two siblings to share a bedroom to try it out on holiday first. The reason being, you know, everyone's much more relaxed on holiday. The routine's a bit more relaxed, so you're not worried about if things go a bit wrong or a bit disruptive, getting them to bed. So try it out on holiday first. If all goes well, then when you get back home, you can move the 15-month-old in with the toddler. I would say that I would keep the 15-month-old in a cot. You know, sometimes I hear people putting 14, 15-month-old in little toddler beds, and then again we get this early morning waking, getting up at 5. So then, you know, you could possibly end up with two waking early in the morning. So 15 months is fine.
Yeah.
You know, keep the baby in the cot and try it out on holiday first of all.
That's so clever. There's an awful rush, I think, amongst parents to put children in beds. You know, I'm such a wimp, I just keep them in the cot as long as possible, but I don't know what the big rush is, because it's a bit, you know.
I don't know, it seems to be this sort of fashion nowadays with everything, whether it's baby clothes or toys or, you know, from cot to bed. They want to put, so many parents want to push the children, and well, I'm like you, I agree to let them sleep in the cot as long as they want, within reason. A lot of the babies I help care for, they were around three and a bit before they went into the bed. And because they were so used to sleeping to 7 and not getting out of the cot, that when they moved into the bed, there was very little disruption. The only time I would say not to keep a toddler in a cot is if they're managing to climb out and falling out of the cot, then it makes sense that, you know, you have to put them in a bed.
Yeah.
And
you say that clearly in your book.
Yes,
the other
yes.
thing that was a great tip for me when I was expecting my second child, and I was just about to think about shipping my 2-year-old out of his cot bed, I read it, yours, like, think twice, don't get rid of the cot bed for your older child just for the sake of giving it to your baby. And it's the best advice I got, because he's kind of, the transition from him having a little sister has been seamless.
Well, I know that a lot of the houses I would go into when I worked as a maternity nurse, you know, the toddler was put into the little single bed perhaps a month, 2 months before the baby arrived, and off they were happy in the bed before the baby arrived. But then the baby arrives, they hear the baby in the night, so the first thing they want to do is get out of bed to see what's going on. So I think that happens, you know, it would happen much less if they remain in the cot. You know, that's only from my experience. And in a lot of the houses I worked in, we did have to go out and then buy a second-hand or a cheaper, smaller cot for the baby and put the toddler back into the cot, because, you know, when you have a second baby, you've got to cope with the toddler during the day. The last thing you need is a toddler and a baby up in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
So definitely two cots.
Good advice.
Or
good
indeed,
advice.
As you say, borrow a second one. I
that's
mean,
right.
If money's if money's the issue, then that's a solution that gets you through.
Okay, Gina, the next one is from Fran in Hemel Hempstead. Gina, I've always followed your routines. My son has always slept in his cot for the lunchtime nap. Is there a way I can build flexibility into that? For example, is it okay to let him sleep in his pram while I'm out shopping?
Well, at 2.5, I'm not sure. You know, he has a cat, if he'll have a cat nap. In my experience, I've found if they haven't gotten used to sleeping in the buggy from an early age, often they won't cat nap. So, you know, in this case, it may be too late. But I actually say in my books, I say in the early days, whenever possible, try to do the lunchtime nap in the cot to establish the nap. But if you do have to go out, you know, try to put your errands or your lunch dates around the time the baby sleeps. But I do actually say it's important, I stress this in the book, that the baby gets used to sleeping elsewhere.
Yeah.
So to any mums who's following the routines, if they're listening out there, you know, just take that on board. That do, once you get past the first few weeks, don't be frightened to go out and have lunch with friends or take the baby out shopping at lunchtime. Yes, the baby won't sleep so long,
as
probably,
well, yeah,
but that's fine. Yeah. Just give it a little extra sleep late nap,
yeah,
late afternoon.
And
there's got to be some flexibility. Actually, can I just say, girls, there is lots of flexibility within the Gina Ford routines, but I can't be responsible if people won't be flexible.
Absolutely. Because really, Gina, your approach is very holistic. You know, you've got to be tuned into your baby,
mm-hmm,
read the routines properly, implement them properly, and also be, you know, very flexible. And I personally, you know, half breastfed, half bottle fed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was selecting little bits and pieces that helped me keep me on track so that, you know, I always handpicked things out of it but kept to the general routine, but also using my own judgment, and it worked very well. That's
well,
it.
I think, you know, I've revised the book 3 times now. And, you know, I take on board mum's comments and I read emails that people send to me. And when I look at the first book compared to the latest book, you know, I think the routines are exactly the same.
Yeah.
I haven't changed the routines, but what I have managed to do from listening to the mums is give lots of adaptions. You know, this is how you adapt,
yeah,
this is how you fix that.
Which is very helpful.
You know, parents have to use a little bit of their own instinct as well and common sense when they're using the book.
That's absolutely it, indeed. And like we always let the routine slip on Saturday. You know, you just thought, I don't want to tie myself to that, down to that extent. But if you're doing it 6 days a week, it's solid enough and you can throw it out the window for one day, you know.
Well, yes, I think definitely contented baby cocktails on a Saturday is nice.
I like it.
I think you've seen us on the go, Gina.
I think you can tell the contented little babies when they're out and about because they have these sort of blankets or shades between 12 and 2
That's right.
Now, Gina, we've mentioned you've an enormous publication list, but you're very, with Mother's Day is coming up, and you have just in time produced the Contented Mother's Guide.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. I have to say, I personally panicked when after I'd read the Contented Baby Guide, I was like, what's next? And somebody said, there's toddler years. And I was like, oh, thank goodness for that. So now there's the Contented Mother's Guide. Tell us a little bit about it. What was your motivator to write a book for mums?
Well, really, for every day I look at the forums, and we've got a wonderful, you know, contented baby community there. And just reading the great advice that these mums give each other. I thought, it, you know, all these top tips. Sometimes, you know, it's easier if you just have short little tips. You know, you're so busy with babies, you've got the routine book, but, you know, I just think this, all the advice from these mums, how they coped with aspects of the routine, their family, their friends, going back to work, and just reading all this advice on the forums, I think it was about 4 years ago, we put a notice up and said, look, you know, we're thinking of doing a Contented Mother's Guide, and that's how that book evolved. You know, the mums were spot on there, emailing in their thoughts and what
great
they would
stuff
like to see in the book.
Because it's a little bit different, this book, because it's got the mum's voice, you know,
yes,
the top tips from the Contented Little Baby forum and community.
Well, it's the voice of mothers,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, and this book in particular, it seems to have attracted quite a bit of publicity on how soon women should be having sex with their partners after having a baby. Now, we've read a lot of the comments and we've gone off and done a little investigation of our own, Gina, into how much truth there is to what's supposed to have been said in your book about sex post-birth.
Mm.
Now, we've looked everywhere for this and we found nothing that gives the timeline that a lot of people are saying that you're saying. A lot of people are saying that you're saying 5 weeks and around that. And there's absolutely no timeline in the book, and we think we have a duty to our listeners to kind of state that. What it says is some people go for before 6 weeks, some people go for after 6 weeks, but it can take anything up to a year. So I think we need to dispel that myth.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. I said it can take up to a year. The most important thing was communication, that the couples, the couple talk to each other. Why the press print something that I didn't see is beyond me. I have no idea.
Yeah, and it's just not in the book. We've read it. There is no timeline. And in fact, the whole tone of the book, I mean, we've both read it, is reassuring. It's like, I'm just going to take a little quote out of it. I agree with mums that patience and communication is the key. Even the happiest marriages can take a knock in the bedroom after the arrival of a baby. But avoiding the subjects of sex is the worst thing you can do. Instead, share your worries with your partners. Mm-hmm. This will manage expectations and relieve any pressure to get back in the saddle before you're ready. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is that you remain intimate and close until it does. Lovely. Mm-hmm. I mean, really helpful, supportive. It's a taboo that not everybody's talking about, but something that has a very big role to play.
Well, yes, I think the one good thing, although certainly the newspaper, you know, several of the newspapers have misquoted, I certainly didn't see when the people should, mums should be forced to have sex before 6 weeks. It's absolutely ridiculous. Of course I didn't say that. But, you know, it has brought the subject into the public arena to be discussed, and that's possibly no bad thing.
Absolutely. And there's another subject that you bring up in the book that I really like, and it's how to keep in touch with old friends. Now, it's something that no one talks about, and I think it's a great source of sadness to new mums. Is that why you included it in the book?
Well, yes, I think it's very hard for mums. This thing that I keep hearing time and time again is that, you know, if you have a baby, you've got to try to make new friends, which is hard because you've got a baby, you're tired, and you've got to sort of push yourself to get out.
You're not at your
baby
best.
Groups. But you may find that you're losing, you know, the friends, your old friends that don't have babies. And I think trying to get the balance of that is really important. And I think with old friends, and I know because I don't have children, and as my friends, you know, got married and had their kids and what have you, to try and retain that closeness that we always had, we had to work hard at it, and we had to be honest with each other. You know, they didn't want to hear about my holidays and which restaurant I'd been to the whole time, and likewise I didn't particularly want to hear about pooey nappies the whole time. So we would meet up and we'd try to do something jointly together that we both would enjoy, that, you know, that we didn't bore each other. And I think, you know, that's important. You don't want to lose your old friends, you want to make new friends, but you don't want to lose the old ones, and that can happen, as many mums have told me.
Gina, we've got to ask you, which of all your books have you really enjoyed writing the most?
Well, the Contented Little Baby book actually evolved over many years. What a lot of people don't realise, because, you know, people often say, oh, it's very direct. It is. To me, I wanted a punchy, direct book, because I just felt there was plenty of what I call fluffy books out there. Gaze into your baby's eyes, you will love your baby. I thought, well, mums usually love their baby anyway, they don't need to be told that. So when I was writing this book, I actually made notes over about 4 or 5 years, and each house I worked in, it was the dads that I worked with on the book.
Really?
So a lot of people, they just automatically assume that it's always been the mums that I wrote the book for. But I wanted a book that dads would read. And if anything, that's the great thing about the Contented Little Baby book.
Very true.
It's a book that men will pick up and read and, you know, understand, because it isn't too fluffy.
So that's a really interesting point, a long time
to write. And, you know, it's like your firstborn. It's special to me. But I've enjoyed all the books. I mean, because when I write a book, I'm hugely involved with mums and dads and people that work for me. And, you know, it's a lot of the people that work for me didn't follow Contented Baby. You know, we have people who done attachment parenting, accidental parenting, all sorts of parenting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mix with a lot of people, and all of my books have been of huge interest when I've been writing them, and I just love the feedback that I get from the people when I'm doing the research. So there's not one, you know, a soft spot for Contented Little Baby.
Yeah.
But they're all of great interest. You know, I've enjoyed writing them all.
And potty training, it's a very close second. Now, we've taken up so much of your time, Gina, and we really, really, really appreciate it. Now, I feel we're duty bound to let you go, even though we could chat to you for a whole lot longer.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, ladies. It's been a pleasure.
All our pleasure.
I'd just like to say a huge thank you from the bottom of my heart to all those lovely mums out there who support me. I will keep working for all of those mums out there, because I believe so passionately that parents have a right to rear their children how they choose. And if it's a routine method, I am still there championing their cause.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Gina.
Take care, girls.
Thanks a million, Gina. All the best now.
Lovely to speak to you both.
You too.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Thanks again for joining us on The Parent Show this evening, and thank you very much to Gina Ford, who kindly gave us a lot of her evening to give us some sleeping tips. And I just want to play a little request for three new listeners listening in from Cairo in Egypt. That's Hani, Maria and Anthony. I hope you got loads of tips. And Anthony, I hope you sleep lots tonight.
And Lydia, we're very excited because we've actually got one of Gina's Contented Mother's Guide to give away to one lucky winner tonight.
That's it. And we have a very, very simple question.
Not too difficult. What's the name of the book I just mentioned? What is the title of Gina's latest book?
Now, all you need to do is drop us an email to parentshow@radioverulam.com with the correct answer. And you've loads of time. You can do it today, tomorrow.
That's it.
We won't be drawing again until just before the show next Thursday. So you've got till about, give it till 5 on next Thursday, and send in your answers for a signed copy of
a Gina's signed book. Copy, no less, with warmest wishes from Gina.
That's
so
great.
There we go.
That's great. Excellent stuff. I'm sure the emails are coming in already.
I know.
Good stuff. So we've had an interesting chat today, and now it's time to find out what's going on. Claire Healy is in the studio. And,
how can I follow Gina Ford?
We need the betting music for Claire. Where's the raring to go theme tune?
Just a second. You keep chatting.
Yes, keep chatting. Well, I was so excited.
It's Mother's Day on Sunday.
Exactly, yes. Yes, I was so excited coming here that I've completely forgotten all my notes, but the sad thing is that I can remember most of it.
That is sad.
Which is a bit of a shame. But no, yeah, it's Mother's Day, isn't it? It's fantastic. Are we doing anything exciting?
Well, I'm just hoping. I want to see what the hobby comes up with.
Well, I was kind of hoping that's taken out of my hands.
Yeah, probably not, but we'll just hope.
Yeah. So Sunday's going to be a kind of sit back, relax and wait for the invitations.
Well, we're relaxing after St. Patrick's Day, you see.
Of course.
Yeah. That's it. But if you want to throw any tips out there that husbands might pick up on, we're happy to take them.
Well, I think there are some very good florist shops out there that are mentioning a few gifts. I think there are some extremely good restaurants in town that are doing some special Mother's Day lunches.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mother's Day teas. What about a nice tea down in the house?
That's a good idea.
At one of the nice hotels.
Or as Gina suggested, maybe Contented Baby Cocktails.
I think that's I really like that idea.
That could definitely
once the baby's sleeping through the night, treat yourself.
Yes. Oh, I was thinking the afternoon. Why not? That goes
lunchtime nap drinks.
indeed. But that's great.
So
what's going on locally, Claire?
Well, we've got this weekend, there's a few fundraising events going on, actually. There's a couple of events that are happening. There's one happening tomorrow down at Water End Barn. It's in aid of the Bailey Fund, and it's a fun day from 3 till 7, and it's open for families and children and all sorts. They've got face painters and all sorts of things going on. And as I say, it's down at the Water End Barn in town. Get yourselves down there, raise some money for charity, have fun with other parents. Be lots of toddlers, lots of things for little kiddies to be had down there. And there's another one for Bailey on Saturday. There's a shopping day. It's at Francis Bacon School. I think, don't quote me on that one, you might have to check that on the Raring to Go website. It's all day, so it's I think it's 10 till 3, something like that. And I think it's 10 till 12, because at 12 o'clock they've got a big auction, and one of the top prize for the auction is a Kindle, so it's a pretty good fundraising.
Very nice.
And again, there's going to be lots of things, there's going to be lots of stalls, and I think probably it would be a really good place for dads to go to take their little children, give mum a break.
Lovely.
And buy her something nice for Mother's
Day. Oh, I like Francis Bacon School.
I like your style.
Can you just, for any listeners who haven't heard of Bailey, do you want to fill us in a little bit?
Well, I'm not very good at pronouncing his surname. Bailey Sara. What is happening, Bailey is obviously suffering from a rare form of cancer, which he needs to get treatment in America or Germany, and they're looking to raise, his family are looking to raise $500,000. And lots of people in St. Albans, I would be surprised if people haven't heard, but lots of people are arranging fundraising events to raise money to help him get to America or Germany for this treatment. And I don't know what the running total is. I think it's around about 50,000 at the moment.
Is it?
So the more people can raise by
lots
going
of
to these
support
fundraising
needed.
Events, the better. There's lots of things happening. But these things are really fun. I mean, it's a great weekend to go down for Dad to take the children down and buy some
lovely
gifts. I think they've got people like, you know, cards and handmade stuff and crafty things and all
gorgeous
sorts of things down there. So there's there's some really nice things to do down at the weekend to make money for him.
And I think, actually, if you have a look on their, I've just found their website, and it's baileysarwa.co.uk. I'm just pronouncing it as kind of...
That's the fundraising
page. Sarwa.co.uk, and that's the that's his mum and dad's website, and it kind of gives you an idea of blogs and fundraising events and how to contact them. So I hope, I hope they're making fast progress towards their target.
Yeah, and as I've said before, any other fundraising events that are going on, give us a call, ring in and tell us about it, and we'll publicise it as much as we can.
Yeah,
www.raring2go.co.uk.
There you go. Just thought I'd start you off there.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff.
Now, can we just repeat the competition question, Lyd, from earlier on? We're giving away tonight, obviously we've had Gina Ford on the show tonight talking about sleep issues, but her latest book, Gina Ford, The Contented Mother's Guide, is just out, and we're giving away a signed copy to one lucky mum or dad, or indeed, well, anyone who's interested in having the book. All you need to do is email us the title of the book. What is Gina Ford's latest publication? What the latest title? I've just mentioned it. Easy peasy. And just send us an email in to parentsshow@radioverulam.com.
Is the next one she's going to write? It's going to be Contented Mother's Cocktail or something like that. We request that.
Yeah.
That would be very nice,
I think this is going to stick. I think it's going to stick.